This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
All right, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. You know, in the offseason, there was a lot of rabble-rousing coming out of L.A. for the B-Squad out there. That would be the Clippers. That there was ridiculous preferential treatment being sent the way of Kawhi Leonard, being sent the way of Paul George. And, look, it's probably not a surprise that Montrezl Harrell got shipped out of town. And he was one of the guys who was vocal about the preferential treatment. It's probably not a surprise Pat Beverly's on the trade block because he's another guy who was vocal about the preferential treatment. Lou Williams, oh, he could be had. We all know why. But at the same time, I don't think anybody's surprised superstars would get preferential treatment. We've all seen James Harden get preferential treatment from the Rockets for years. And we saw James Harden get Kevin McHale run out of town 11 games into a season. What, not even a calendar year after he signed a four-year extension. Coming off of a Western Conference Finals appearance. And Harden got him run out of here in 11 games. Well, the Rockets might not be the only people who treat James Harden a little different. Last time we were all here, James Harden was in the crosshairs because of the fact that, well, he was partying at the strip club again without a mask, breaking protocols, just left, right, and center, straight up ZFG. And the league fined him $50,000, which is the equivalent of about 6 minutes worth of playing time for James Harden in a given game. They chose not to suspend him. But then there was that caveat of, well, the league is going to determine how long James Harden has to stay, in isolation and how many, you know, how long it's got to be before he gets, you know, however many negative tests in a row, etc. So there was a possibility James Harden might have to quarantine up to 14 days, which probably would have cost him, what, 8 games, give or take? And he would have lost 8 games worth of salary. That's more than 10% of his income. That would have hurt. And that also would have sent a message to the rest of the league, hey, we're serious about our COVID protocol. If you guys break protocol, you're going to eat 14 days on the sidelines. And if you miss 6 games, you miss 8 games, you miss 10 games, you're losing that money. Too bad, so sad. Instead, Adam Silver, well, he played the role of, you know, like the Christmas spirit who's very forgiving and basically let Harden off with the $50,000 fine and 0 missed games. When asked about it, Silver basically said, well, it's Christmas. And it was his first offense. No, I'm not kidding. He actually said that. Adam Silver's quote was, it's Christmas. It was a first offense. So, if you're a star and you break protocol, but it's like a major holiday and it's the first time, basically we're going to shake the naughty crooked finger at you. And we're going to say, now, don't do that again. Now, be a good boy and run along. That's essentially what James Harden got, which is patently ridiculous that the league let him off that easy. But they also did the Rockets a huge solid by not hammering James Harden. And I don't mean they did him a solid by letting Harden play right away so the Rockets could have a chance to win against the Blazers. I mean, even though they lost in overtime, I mean, look, Dame and CJ. CJ just went nuts from three-point range. He couldn't miss. Harden had a monster game. And look, every time Harden goes out and has a monster game, that's good for the Rockets. And I don't mean it's good for the Rockets because they're competing. I mean, it's good for the Rockets because it makes James Harden's value high. It doesn't matter that James Harden looks like, you know, he's 3 months pregnant. James Harden, he can be a little pudgy, and he basically said, you know, my conditioning's not where I want it to be, obviously. Obviously, James. Obviously. Sex shape and basketball shape, they're two different things, James. Strip club shape and on the court shape, they're not the same thing. Who knew that, you know, on the sideline you had to drink Gatorade and not Moët Chandon? But despite the fact that Harden is not exactly in peak physical condition, means nothing. And it's crazy to say that, but is James Harden one of the few people in the NBA that doesn't need to be in peak physical condition to play his best? Because nothing about James Harden's game relies on sheer physical ability. He's never been the fastest dude. He doesn't have much of a vertical leap. He doesn't play above the rim. He shakes and bakes you. He outthinks you. He draws contact. He gets to the line. He makes foul shots. He hits three-pointers. He finds open guys with the basketball. James Harden doesn't have to be in peak condition to play really, really good basketball. And you know what? In 2 to 3 weeks, James Harden's going to be in proper physical conditioning. And everybody around the league knows it. And the fact that Harden can go out there 15 pounds overweight and drop 44 and 17 like it's nothing, these are the things that make James Harden have value. And the Rockets need his value to be high if they're ever going to move him, and they need to move him because he doesn't want to be here. And here is where it gets further, right? Because think about from this point of view, what is James Harden's market? What team absolutely positively is falling all over themselves to get James Harden right here, right now? Because a month ago, it was the Brooklyn Nets, but Tillman Fertitta screwed that up, and now that's over. And even with them losing Spencer Dinwiddie, possibly for the rest of the season, with a partially torn ACL, he's going to have surgery. He might miss the rest of the year. I still don't think that makes Brooklyn, I don't think that forces them to this great impetus. They must trade for James Harden now, because you know what? Spencer Dinwiddie's got a player option next year for $12 million. There's no way he's opting in for $12 million. Even coming off an ACL, he's getting multi-years and a lot of money. So he's now off the table as a tradable asset. So the return, the return's not as good now. Even if it did create more impetus for the Nets to want to make a deal, they now have less bullets in the gun to make the deal with. Miami, they don't want them. They're out. They're done. These rumors about the Celtics, man, the Celtics players are like, yeah, well, I really don't see how he fits. That's players on social media saying, yeah, you know, pump the brakes on that. We have no idea how the hell James Harden's going to fit around here. I don't know how the hell James Harden's going to fit around there. How does James Harden fit with the Celtics? That's a team basketball approach. Haven't we already seen, you know, the ball hog superstar in Kyrie Irving not fit in Boston? You think they want to do it again, but for more money? I don't think so either. I don't think he fits in Toronto either. Another, you know, team approach. Siakam's a star. Lowry's a star. Van Vliet's a star. But none of them dominate the basketball the way James Harden does. Who is the team? For Anthony Davis, the Lakers were the team. For Carmelo Anthony, once upon a time, the Knicks were the team. Who's the team for James Harden? Until that team manifests, they need James Harden to put up 44 and 17 every damn chance he can. And that means being on the court. Win or lose doesn't matter. It means being on the court, being healthy, and not being suspended. A lot of fans didn't like it. They felt it was preferential treatment. It was. But it probably benefits the Rockets that it happened that way. All right, before we hit the break, tell you again about our buddies at mybookie.ag. It's not how you start the season. It's how you end the season. And MyBookie, right now, you sign up today, they will match your initial deposit 50% up to $1,000. That's free money. Do you like free money? Because I like free money. All you got to do when you sign up is use promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, get your bonus, start taking advantage of that free money. They've always got some other kind of freebies and stuff going on. MyBookie has all kinds of perks and benefits and freebies and specials that the other sites don't have. You know, for Black Friday, I hit every single one of their specials and only one didn't cash. It paid for Christmas. I'm not kidding. Go to mybookie.ag. Get on board mybookie.ag. Promo code RADIO. Flashy ways up. Guess it's why they're broken. You're so mean. Biggie, biggie, biggie. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways up. Guess it's why... ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You are listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Hey, let me take a minute to tell you about my good friend Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. You guys have heard me tell you my story for over a year now. And we met Dr. Ben last summer, and I've been dealing with sinus infections and sinus issues for over 20 years. Developed snoring, like really bad snoring. My kids used to call me the chainsaw, like they could hear me snoring outside. It was so bad. I developed sleep apnea. I'd stop breathing and then like kickstart. I didn't even know how bad sleep apnea really was. But you know, I've been to a bunch of doctors, and every time I'd get a sinus infection, I'd just call a doctor, they'd give me a Z-Pack, and then I'd feel better, and then 2 months later, I'd have another sinus infection, we start over. Went to see Dr. Ben last summer, and it's the first time a doctor ever asked me, well, why do you keep getting these? Let's find out what the cause is. And, you know, went right down the hall, so he's got a, you know, state-of-the-art facility up there in North Houston, and we literally went three doors down, they did a CAT scan, took like 5 minutes. Go back into the room, and 5 minutes later, he's got all the results up on the board, and he's showing me all the things that are going on inside my head, and he's speaking to me in English and not medicalese about what's going on and how we can fix it. We laid out a plan of action, and ultimately, I wound up having a procedure. It wasn't the most complicated, but you know, I had a balloon sinuplasty, I had a septoplasty, and they had to remove some staph infection out of my sinus cavity. So I had the two procedures. They fixed deviated septum, the balloon sinuplasty, because when you've got all that infection for so long, your sinuses get all swollen and inflamed. They had to like fix all the tissue there. Since the day I came home, it's an outpatient procedure. You're there for a couple hours, come home. Even with all the swelling, as I recovered, I could already breathe better. I have no sinus pain. I haven't had a sinus infection since. I don't have sinus issues. I don't snore. I no longer have sleep apnea. I breathe 100% better than I have for over 20 years. And that's actually Dr. Ben's slogan. Break the cycle and breathe. If you go to bed and you feel more tired when you wake up than when you went to sleep, which was me for so long, stop doing that. Call Dr. Ben Salento. Just give him a call. Get all your stuff taken care of. Go see him. Make a consultation. Let him tell you about what's going on inside your head. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. 9313 or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Tell them Patrick and Jason sent you. Now, this stuff with Harden, like I said, I think it's actually a bonus for the Rockets that he didn't miss games, because it let people see right away that regardless of whether you think he is a little bit out of shape, not quite ready, he's still playing like the James Harden we all know he is. But something happened today that was, I guess, unexpected because it's 8 days late. Daryl Morey apparently had an automatic tweet go out back on December 20th that, you know, celebrated Harden breaking the Rockets franchise assist record. It was the one-year anniversary of it. And, you know, it was set on auto-tweet so that, you know, he knew, like, you just put it in, and then on that day, the system just automatically sends it. And when Daryl stopped being affiliated with the Rockets and became affiliated with another organization, Daryl knew he had to, you know, kill all those things. But, yeah, but he didn't. What a shame. Oh, no, I didn't mean, let me delete this very, very quickly. Yeah, oops. Well, he got fined $50,000 today for violating the NBA's anti-tampering policy, which we all know is a total joke anyway. But if you've listened to this show, you know I don't believe in coincidence. I firmly believe Daryl left that tweet out there on purpose. He didn't go in and remove it from the system. He wanted the tweet to go out there. He was willing to pay the price, which 50 grand for Daryl is nothing. What is he making, like $6-7 million a year? 50 grand is, you know, if you or I had to pay 10 bucks. I think Daryl wanted James to make sure he knew, hey, buddy, I still love you over here. Love to have you in Philly. Don't forget about us. You know, maybe you want to tell your new boss, you know, you should probably work something out with the Sixers because, you know, of all the teams, they're the only one that's got a young potential franchise type of guy in Ben Simmons. Maybe now, I don't think Ben Simmons is a franchise guy, but there are those who do. To me, I think if you're going to be a wing player, you've actually got to be able to shoot, but maybe they see him in a different role. You know, Simmons can do everything else. He can handle. He can get to the hole. He can finish. He plays insane defense. He blocks shots. He can pass. He just can't shoot threes to save his damn life. In fact, a lot of times, he won't even take one. But if you ask most talent evaluators, who's better, Ben Simmons or anybody they'd get from the Nets? Ben Simmons or anybody they'd get from Miami? Ben Simmons or anybody they'd get from Milwaukee? Ben Simmons or ... Because let's be real, Jaylen Brown, he's not coming here. And Pascal Siakam, he's not coming here either. Because if those deals were really on the table, those triggers would have been pulled. This was Daryl Morey's way of saying, hey, guys, remember me? You know, I used to work there for a really long time. Hey, Mr. Stone, remember me? Mr. Morey, your old boss? I bet we could probably have amicable conversations. You know, and Tad Brown with the raised eye emoji and the hand rubbing the chin, like, what are you trying to do here? We all know what he's trying to do. But at the same time, you know, is the congratulations post that was up for like 8 minutes fine worthy when everybody knows he's on the block and already has a pre-existing relationship with Daryl Morey, to think Daryl Morey is not talking to James' agent? I mean, right, the sun's not hot, water's not wet. Half the GMs in the league are talking to Harden's agent right now. I just found it amusing that you know, for all the crap the Lakers got away with so many times, including most recently with Davis, that, yeah, Morey got hit for $50,000 for that. I thought that was kind of funny. You know, there are certain coaches in the college ranks that, if we're going to be fair, they're just smug, pompous asses. And to me, I don't necessarily like a college coach based on whether or not they are successful or whether or not, you know, they have a good program right now. I think character at the college level is a lot more important than all that other stuff. It's why I can't have any respect for Rick Pitino, who basically was running a brothel for his players. I can't have any respect for he who shall not be named idiot who used to be the head football coach at Baylor, who was basically covering up sex crimes by his players. And yes, you know what I'm talking about, AB, and it's not Antonio Brown, but I'm not even going to say that guy's name because he's such a low-life POS. Well, this particular college football coach is extremely successful, and he's a really smug, pompous ass, and I don't like him. But said something that I actually agree with. We'll get to it next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
Hey, if I haven't beat it into your head yet, well, then listen up. MyBookie.ag. We're getting to the playoffs in the NFL real soon. NBA is back. College basketball's playing. You're going to have UFC cards and boxing. Dude, if you're not working MyBookie for all your betting action, you're doing it wrong. So let me help you fix it. Go to mybookie.ag. Sign up today. Use promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O. And they will match half of your initial deposit up to $1,000. Would you like $1,000 extra for free that you can use to then go and win more money? Of course you do. So stop waiting. Stop messing around with those other sites that want to take months to pay you. I get paid out by MyBookie through Bitcoin. It takes a day. One day, money in account. And if Bitcoin's up that day, it's even more money. I made like an extra $12 because of Bitcoin. Thank you, Bitcoin. So don't mess around with these other sites that, oh, they're tomfoolery. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code RADIO, sign up today, get your bonus, start making money. You bet, you win, you get paid with MyBookie.ag. You know, I am not a big Dabo Swinney fan. A great coach. You can't build the program he's built and not be a great coach. I think he's totally full of you-know-what about an awful lot of things. And I don't buy his, well, you know, we're just, you know, tying a little Clemson over here. No, I don't buy none of that. That's an act. And not all that, well, you know, the good Lord, and he's taking care of it. Yeah, I don't buy any of that either. The more somebody goes out there trying to, you know, give all that false praise, you know, the more of a charlatan they really are. But Dabo is catching some flack because in the coaches poll, he ranked Ohio State 11th. Of course, they're in the CFP as the 3 seed. But Dabo had him 11th, and he is getting all the fluff on that. And the reason he gave for making him 11th is They didn't play a real schedule. And far be it from me to agree with Dabo Swinney, who is on record as saying, if any of his college players were ever allowed to make money off their name, image, or license, he would quit coaching college and coach pro. Mind you, he makes $10 million a year. But he would quit because, damn, if those kids are going to make 50 bucks signing their name. He's a pompous ass. He's fake as hell. But he's right. Ohio State shouldn't be getting the same treatment as other schools that played 10, 11, 12 games. It's not about their ability. In fact, he actually said, no question Ohio State good enough to beat them, good enough to beat any team that's in the playoffs, and good enough to be national champs. He said he didn't rank anybody who didn't play at least 9 games in the top 10, and that's why he had them at 11. He said he's got all the respect for them, but they didn't play a real season. And he's not wrong. They didn't play a real season. They didn't have to deal with as many injuries because they didn't have to play those games. They didn't have to deal with 25 guys out on COVID for multiple weeks because they didn't have to play those games. It is a distinct advantage to Ohio State. They've played half the games of their competitors. They're not as beat up. They're way more fresh. That's a distinct advantage. You think NFL teams would rather play 6 games instead of play 16 games than be able to, you know, start the playoffs? How many injuries they don't have? How many bumps and bruises they don't have? At the end of 16 games, nobody's healthy. Everybody's banged up to a degree. College football after 10, 12 games, guys are beat up. Well, not so much after 6. Well, Aaron, I don't know if you just saw this last play by the Patriots, but Cam Newton steps up in the pocket and throws the ball. Look at this. Watch him. Steps up, and now he's going to fire it on the run, and that ball is like 3 yards short. If that doesn't tell you Cam Newton is done, I don't know what does. There was a time that ball would have been 80 miles an hour, hitting that receiver in the numbers so hard it broke his thumbs. And I hate that we're seeing what's left of Cam, because he was once a great player, and injuries have absolutely sapped him of so much ability. I hate watching the once great player who's now 20% of what he was. I hate seeing it.
It makes me feel even worse because he's like 6 months younger than me. And to think that somebody who was my age would be out of their prime. It got weird to me. I guess my last, because I went to college for a very long time, one of my last couple years in college, watching the NFL draft and going, holy crap, this guy's like 7 years younger than me. He's making millions. This sucks. When did I get old? And now watching guys that are my age be out of their prime and people going, oh, he's washed now. He's just too old to play the game. Like, that just hurts me in my soul a little bit.
One of my former interns who interned for me probably for 3 years, he's a senior in college this year. He's looking to go into the MLB draft this summer. He was one of my interns. And he's going to get drafted. Another kid who was an intern for me once upon a time now hosts on a major national network. It helped he had some familial connections, but still, guys, he's like 26 years old. I tell you, I feel like I was born at the wrong time. Because when I was born, there was hardly a thing as sports radio. There were maybe three sports radio stations in the country when I was in college. And it was like, it was a new phenomenon. Today, and when I was growing up, you know, when I was in college, everybody on sports radio was like in their 40s or 50s. Or, you know, they were all older guys. Today, they're all like younger and younger and younger. And, you know, I see guys who are, you know, young enough to be my kids. And it's just like, all right, something is really weird about this. At the same time, though, I learn a lot from the young guys. They give you a lot of energy, and then that you like that you feed off of that. But I would not know any current music acts. I wouldn't know any like shows worth watching if it wasn't for you telling me what I should watch. Man, when did you graduate high school?
2007.
Good God. I was out of high school 16 years when you graduated high school. Sometimes, like, I think Joel is slightly older than I am. And Charlie, I think, is slightly older than I am. But a lot of times, John, I think, is just slightly older than I am. A lot of times, I always feel like it's Fred and me. Like, we're like the two oldest dudes here. But, you know, I learn all the hip, cool words from the young guys.
I mean, you have kids. That gets you out of it.
But my kids are nerdy. You know, I mean, like, they're into karate and kayaking and archery, but they're not, like, real big on pop culture and stuff like that. My kids like anime and video games and music. They're both musicians. They're into, like, individual sports, like I said, like kayaking, archery, karate, those are the things that they do. But they're not, I don't, actually, you know what? I couldn't even tell you what they listen to, what my daughter listens to. My daughter might listen to new stuff. My son listens to music from like the 70s and 80s. Because that's where the more brass instruments are. He plays a brass instrument. So he listens to music that he can play. And then he'll go in his room and play it. Like no sheet music, no anything. He just goes in there, listens to it, and then he starts banging it out. And I'm like, buddy, that's pretty freaking awesome. I couldn't do that. I smashed things. You know. I would have my friends came over. What was the first video game console that you played with your friends in high school?
In high school?
Yeah.
In high school, it was probably PlayStation 1, but I had a Super I had the original Nintendo that my best friends would come over every day and we'd play.
Okay.
From the time we were 5 years old.
So, original Nintendo, do you remember a game called Baseball Stars?
Yeah, I rented it once and I didn't like it nearly as much, so I just never took it again from Blockbuster.
So, Baseball Stars had all these fake made-up teams, and then there was one team of all women. So, my friends and I were sitting in the living room, it's a rainy day, and we're playing Baseball Stars, and we're all talking massive crap on each other. Some reason my father comes home early. Normally, that's a bad sign because, you know, my father came in. We ran like, you know, roaches in the light. My father comes in, surprises all of us in the middle of the game, and he's like, I'll kick your ass in this game. So knowing that I was going to stomp my dad, I took full advantage of this in front of my friends. And I played as the all-girls team, and I let him play as, like, the super team. At 98-0 in the first inning, he ripped the Nintendo out of the entertainment unit, slammed it on the ground, smashed it into pieces, and chased every single one of us out of the house. Maybe I shouldn't have piled it on 98-0 in the first inning with all my friends there to keep razzing them. Maybe I could have used a little better judgment. Maybe I could have not talked so much crap. But no, see, because my dad would talk all the crap in the world, and he would be relentless on it. Like, he'd be winning 1-0, and he would just like, yeah, you suck. You're never going to score. You suck, you suck, you suck. And so, you know, piling it on, you know, we were all in our glory. Yeah, that day didn't end so well. All right, one more segment to go. Did this really happen? Next.
bad things. It's a lot of bad things.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Ben Salento and Texas Sinus and Snoring. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock.
All right, before we start the final segment, I'm going to tell you about our friends out at 5 Under Golf Center, Southeast Texas premier entertainment venue. Between the double-decker, you know, top tracer driving range and the top golf swing suite and the sim bays, you can play simulated golf, you can pitch baseball, you can play zombie dodgeball. You got full service bar and restaurant. They come, you don't have to go down there. You're in the bay. They'll come bring it to you. Then you got the pro shop. They got everything in there that the golfer and your family could possibly want. Or, you know, maybe you don't necessarily have a big time golfer, but you got somebody that looks good in a golf shirt. They got that too. You want to learn how to play, get fitted for a set of clubs. 5 Under Golf Center is the place. Whether you're going by yourself, going with your boys, going with the lady, going with the kids, there's so much stuff to do. It is an awesome place to go. You got to check it out. 5 Under Golf Center, College Street in Belmont, quarter mile north of I-10. Go to 5undergolf.com. That's the number 5, 5undergolf.com. Go check out all the cool events that they will have coming out. They've got every month, they've got really cool stuff going on. You'll have an awesome time. 5undergolf.com. All right. There is some stuff that it's like, wait, did that really happen? I saw this halftime score yesterday. 77-27. This was not college. This wasn't high school. This was the NBA, and at halftime, the Dallas Mavericks were stomping a mud hole in the LA Clippers and walking it dry. They had a 50-point lead at the half, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George played, and they wound up winning 124-73. That's insane. The Clippers threw up a playoff rocket style 1 of 19 from 3 in the first half. In the first half, Paul George was 4 of 12 and the rest of the Clippers were 5 of 25. This actually happened. Screw the Clippers. Something else actually happened. Man, this one I think might even be more unbelievable. The Knicks mollywopped the Bucks. Best team in the Eastern Conference last 2 years. 2-time reigning MVP. Yeah, he played. Giannis played. It wasn't even like, well, you know, Giannis didn't play. Doesn't count. Giannis had 27-13. Giannis played. All right, and this was their first game after beating the brakes off of Golden State by 39 on Christmas Day. And then they went and shot 7 of 38 from 3 against the Knicks. The Knicks shot 54% from the field against the Bucks. And 59% from 3. The Knicks beat the Bucks by 20. I'm not lying. This actually happened. I felt like it was like 1993. All the way to Marv Albert, like, Ewing, yes. I can't believe the Knicks beat the Bucks. I mean, that's literally like me going to AJ and asking for a $3,000 a month raise, and he went, yes! Of course, he was probably just saying yes to whatever beer I was handing him and not, you know, anything involving money. But this actually happened. A team took a quarterback in the first round of the NFL draft, and in less than 2 years, not only demoted him, but outright released him. Didn't even trade him. First round pick. Just, hi, pack your bags, GTFO. Dwayne Haskins is no longer a member of the Washington football team. So a day after he got benched against the Panthers, and then hours after he was sent, demoted behind a practice squatter, Haskins, who for the second time broke COVID protocols, Ron Rivera, and look, we remember from the beginning of the season, Ron Rivera, not the biggest fan of Dwayne Haskins. Ron Rivera just gave him the boot in the booty hole. You're out of here. They didn't even wait until the offseason to try to trade him, try to recoup some of the value they spent on him. You'd think somebody else will, all right, hey, look, we'll give you a fourth, fifth round pick because, you know, we think we can fix him, get his head straightened on right. No, they just cut him. Eight guaranteed money. Remember, first round rookie contracts, those are guaranteed. They're eating the money. And Taylor Heinicke will start for the WFT. It just sounds cooler than Washington football team. For the WFT, if Alex Smith is still injured and unable to play. Haskins counts $8.5 million dead money against their cap next year. They just said, bleep it. All right, this actually happened. A woman affiliated with Major League Baseball sent out a tweet talking about Robinson Cano hitting a home run in winter ball. As if anybody gives a damn, he just got pinched for steroids for the second time in 3 years, and he's going to miss the whole season. But here she's got this video. Oh, look, Robbie Cano hit a home run. Whoa, it's his first plate appearance in the Dominican League. Woo, like, who flipping cares? The guy's a joke. He's a cheater. He's a multi-time cheater who basically flushed his Hall of Fame chances down the toilet. But my favorite, did this just happen? Doesn't even come from sports. It comes from Louisiana, where a cop told a woman named Renee Whidden she was under arrest for driving with a suspended license and a probation warrant. And she said, no, it's Christmas. And she turned and she ran away and she ran face first into a parking lot sign and fell flat on her ass. She was then arrested. And it happened at 4:35 in the morning. Oh, and guess what she had on her person at 4:35 in the morning? Little bit of meth. It's Christmas only works for James Harden, sweetheart. Big thanks to our buddy Aaron Raybould on the other side of the glass. Thanks to everybody joining us on the Twitch stream. I'm Patrick Creighton. Have a great night, everybody. Coming up next, it's my man, the two-time Hall of Famer, Booker T. My buddy, the Boat, Brad Gilmore. They bring you the Hall of Fame. It's next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.